let's say you want to give a person a gift, and he does not he doesn't need the gift. I mean, he can use the money, of course, but he would not qualify for tzedakah. If he would come to the kupa, if he would come to the rabbanim and say, "I would like a handout," they would say to him, "There are people that need that we need to give the money to people that are more needy than you. So sorry, you're not going to get it." But if someone would come to this person and would give them a gift, he's allowed to accept it. Just like now, who says you're allowed to accept the gift? That's not a halacha. That's an ideal. That's an ideal not to accept the gift. But if people want to accept gifts, no, there's no issur in accepting the gift. It was like Elisha. Like Elisha accepted from the Shunamis, she accepted her hospitality. Now here he's saying something very important. Let's say the person is not giving, he's giving him, with the person that's giving the money, he's giving him his tzedakah money. That you're not allowed to do. It's one thing, you want to give me a gift, and the gift you're giving me is not going to come at the expense of you giving other tzedakah money to the tzibur. But if you're giving me a gift for money that you would otherwise give to tzedakah, who says I'm allowed to accept it? That is the dilemma. Maybe the only time you can accept a gift is only when the money you're receiving is not from the most of tzedakah. Over here we're dealing with giving a gift to a private person. This is not relevant to a situation of giving a rov a gift. There, a person can even give the tzedakah money that he would ordinarily give, he can redirect it to give it to the rov as a gift. To hasam hainu taimo the kevin shehu oved avodas ha'ir shaper magielo sheyehenu oso. There he's entitled to the money. He's not explaining in details why he even tzedakah money, but he's saying that's his entitlement, and therefore that situation is different. I guess the tzorchei tzibur is tzedakah, and he's entitled to receive it as a gift. But in a private person, mash enkin b'sha'or kol adam afilu im hu tam l'chacham kevin sheyesh loy reish zuz. The halach is a person that's 200 zuz. Once a person passes a certain threshold, you're not allowed to receive tzedakah. The kol shekein kishayesh lo yoyser, certainly there's more. Lama yikapeach chwanim, how dare you deny, by you taking someone else's tzedakah, even though it's been given to you, not midin at tzedakah, it's been given to you midin a gift, but by taking this money you are denying, you're causing a loss to the chwanim, but not like mitzedakah shalohem, because there's a given that when the balabayis he gives a gift to this person from his tzedakah money, yinakeh, he will deduct l'sha'arei ha'anim from giving tzedakah to the other poor people. The Aruch HaShulchan says, therefore, if you want to take a gift, do not make sure the money you think as a gift does not come from tzedakah money, af derech doyroin, even as a gift. You know, you have this situation in yeshivas all the time. People give money to the yeshiva as tzedakah, the Talmud Torah, and then it comes to time of the year when the yeshiva wants to give bonuses to the rebbeim. So that's not part of the salary. So are they allowed to direct money? It's one thing when you have a sponsor. You know, people come along and they give wealthy people, they give in honor of all the rebbeim, they give money to the yeshiva. The yeshiva should give bonuses to the rebbeim at different times of the year. But let's say the sponsors did not come forth this year. Their big sponsor, he just didn't show up this year. And the rebbeim are like, oh no, you know, it's Yom Tov. Every year we get a bonus. And the yeshiva happens to be lucky. They have sitting around in the bank, I don't know, such a yeshiva. They have sitting around the bank some extra money they collected for tuition. And now the yeshiva has a dilemma. Should they give the rebbeim a bonus from money that was really collected for, you know, the maintenance and the salaries of the yeshiva? It definitely touches upon what it says over here. Money was collected for tzedakah. You want to take this money and give this money as a gift, a bonus to someone that is not necessarily entitled to tzedakah. He has enough work, he's not going to starve, but he can certainly use the money to enhance his Yom Tov. And that is the dilemma. If the yeshiva use this money, they're going to be hard-pressed in the future to raise more money to pay the salaries, to pay their needs. It's a very, very tough, tough decision. Being an administrator of yeshiva is not a job you know, kind of person for having. I see in Tarvid Asher, a Gediner, he works his head off. He mamash runs the yeshiva. It's a one-man show there. He's an administrator. He runs the show, a Gediner. And he really, really works hard to maintain a healthy flow of funds to keep the place running. The e kasha, the im lav mamos tzedaka, my kamash. What's the chiddush? If you tell me you're giving someone a gift, so of course the yesh lema, the kamash malon, you're allowed to take from others, av kishe yesh leharbe, ulazeh hevi, and I'm sure the means over here, you're allowed to take from others. The chiddush over here is that the person is allowed to receive a gift, even though he has other money. That's the chiddush. You do the chiddush is the acceptance. Okay, it says that Elisha was a Navi, and all prophets were profitable. All prophets were profitable. That's what it says, because the Shekhinah is not shown to a person unless they are wise, they are strong, and they are wealthy. And therefore, yet Elisha still accepted a gift from someone else. Isn't that surprising? You would say to the person, I don't need your money, Baruch Hashem. I'm independently wealthy. Why do you give me money? No, you see that there are times when Adarabba, it's not a bad thing to take money from someone. This was a very interesting takana. We discussed this and we learned Hilchos Pesach of Rabbanim taking money for Mechiras Chametz. Right? It's a tradition in Klal Yisrael that when you go to the Rav to sell Chametz to a guy through him, you give the Rav a tip. So there are some Rabbanim that decided, I don't want to take the money. I don't like the sol shnara business of taking the money. And you know, it's part of my duty. I'm the Rav. It's part of my duty. You pay me a salary. You do not have to give money for mechiras chametz. So there was an uproar. There are a lot of documented stories that Rabbanim are not allowed not to take money. Because most Rabbanim desperately need the money. And if you're going to make yourself as a Rav that does not take the money, people are all...
Not every Rav has a salary. Some of them live on that.
In a chanami, they live off that, exactly. So if you are going to be Mashana the Minuk, and you're going to say, I'm not taking any money, just part of my service, I don't want to feel, I don't like this feeling of taking money, being indebted to you, it's very uncomfortable, Baruch Hashem, I have a salary, you pay me a salary, I have another job, my wife works, I married off my children, just the opposite, you marry off your children, because it's even worse, you have to have more expenses, even more expenses, right? It's even more expensive.
Children not a town title.
Okay, it's even worse. It's even worse, but whatever the situation is, I don't want, so are you allowed to say to your balabatim, I am not taking money? And basically the answer is no, you're not allowed, because if you are going to not take money, you're going to make a problem for the other Rabbanim that do take money. The other Balabatim are going to look down, oh, you take money, he doesn't. I'm only going to go do Mechiras Chametz by this Rav. So it's not, so Adrav, so take the money. So sometimes it's important.
The way they, a lot of Svarim, what they explain about taking the money though, is that unless money changes hands, it doesn't show that, unless money changes hands, it doesn't show that you mean
Shliach.
Business. There are a lot of people who, I know I've had people come to me in shul and say, I don't really believe in this, but I'm doing it because everybody's doing it. But I don't really believe it. So, the point is that if you give money, it means you're serious about it. Unless you give money,
there's a halachic principle that you if you appoint a person to be your agent, you have to go back to him and make sure he did the shlichus.
Right.
Unless you pay him. If you pay the agent, then you can rely upon the fact I've paid him, he's done what he's supposed to do.
That's the reason they give in the Sforum that they should give money, not because of what that is, but that's the way they present it.
There's a story with the Briscoe. He wanted to send something out, and he sent someone to the post office with, instead of a dollar bill for the stamp, a $10 bill. So he says, I could pay you. So he says, no, take this. They said, this way I know that you went, bought the stamp, mailed the letter, because you have to bring me back.
Change. Okay, very good. Very good. Okay, Ella, so at least accept. Look, you also, you know, you get what you pay for. If everything is free, then the whole thing, the service just becomes stale. If you pay a person, the person has nachrayis to do the job. You have this principle when it comes to davening for the amud, a shatz for the yamim noiroim. person is taking money, it automatically creates a certain degree of responsibility. And that is a healthy thing, even when the person does not need the money.
Today they charge for someone's in time, it's Shlecha Ken. They charge money.
They charge as they make a parnos out of this. All right, okay. Oischas. Okay, now we go to a new topic. This is a very important topic. Yesh lepamim shehu asher b'nachalois. You have a person that has a reputation as being a multimillionaire, but his assets are all tied up. So right now, what? Right now he can't even put food on the table. He cannot put food on the table. I remember there was a person, a very, very, very wealthy person. He wanted to buy a house in this community. Very known to be a phenomenally wealthy person. Phenomenally wealthy, and I happen to know the person who sold this house to him. He sold it for one of his children, whatever it was. He sold the house, and then like the whole thing was taking forever until he didn't move out. So I said, I thought you sold the house. So he says, yeah, the person who bought my house, he's having a hard time getting a mortgage. I said, what? He's having. I says, yeah. I said, he's everyone knows. Everyone knows he's a multi millionaire. I says the bank is giving him a hard time. He's not giving him a mortgage. So what's going on?
Too many.
He has no liquid assets.
He borrowed too much.
No, he has no liquid assets.
So you never really know what's going on behind the scenes. So here's a situation: the person has assets. Lefishu asher benachalois v'shay likach tzedaka. Here is a situation where the person has assets, but he does not have anyone that's willing to buy his property at this moment. It's a process. It can take years to...
The real estate bubble burst.
It can take years to liquidate your assets. In the meantime, you don't have food put on the table. So such a person is entitled to take money. What do you mean? Just sell your house at half the price. Right? You want to go sell your house for $1 million. So right now the market's not good. Okay, but if you'll split up your house for $500,000, it'll be gone tomorrow. So do that. You're not mechuyev to do that. You're not mechuyev to go down. He'll talk about this. You're not mechuyev to go down more than a certain amount in order not to take tzedakah. You're allowed to take tzedakah even though you have assets, because right now you're not able to liquidate your assets.
Can you say that you're borrowing money?
Not necessarily. Let's see, he explains. There's a lot of Torah. Let's see, he explains. Harei, shahayiloi batim sodos, a person has assets, homes, fields, vineyards. The einai moitzi l'moichron. No one wants to buy. Meaning no one wants to buy at the price that I want to sell to. Basically the market price. You go on the website, whatever, they go online and tell you how much is your house worth. Right? And no one wants to give me that kind of money. But that's what it says my house. And it is. If you'll wait it out, give yourself a couple of months, 6 months, a year, you'll get it. But not today. But Pesach is coming up. I can't afford to buy Shmur Matzah.
We're talking about
Yeah.
Some house that has no tenants?
The person has no cash. A person is broke. He comes to the Rav, I don't have a penny to money. I lost my job. I've spent all of my cash. I have nothing in the bank. So what am I supposed to do for Pesach? The Rav says, well, you have a house. Sell your house. Now, your house, you don't have to sell, the Gemara says. Because the house, the place that you live in, the place where you live, you never mechuyev to sell. Okay, unless it's worth an enormous amount of money. But normally not. The Rav says, don't you have a summer home? Don't you have a fancy summer home somewhere over here in upstate? Yes. So sell it. Sell it. I can get sell it. It's worth $1 million. So sell it. Well, I can't sell it today. $1 million will take me. I have to wait for the season when people are buying in the summertime. This and that. So the Gemara says he's entitled to receive tzedakah ad mechza. Now, here are the words of the Gemara which are vague. And this is subject to a dilemma in the Mefarshim. What does it mean over here, ad mechza? The Torah explains the meaning of ad mechza. Besides his own private home, because your own private home, you're never mechuyev to sell. Now here's the reason why don't you want to sell? There are different reasons. I told you the more common reason, because the market has gone down. It's just not a good time to sell now. There's another reason. People know he's desperate. Oh, you're desperate? So you'll
lower price.
So b'bnei sheroyim oisol shehu dochuk ein ve'ein rights and liknais mimenu. They don't want to buy from him unless he gives a deduction, a reduction. Ein mechayvin oisol limoicher and bazal. You know he's not mechuyif to sell it for less than its market value. Ella machilin oso minatzdaka. And now here's the case: at sheyimkar b'shavyam. Until you sell the market value, v'yedu akol she'ein adochuk limkar, and everyone knows he's not pressed. Aval im huzlu kol akakos, but let's say all of the entire country, the entire market has gone down. Av shalachedim av. Now here is what the tour writes. Here is the chiddush of the tour. Av im huzlu she'einam shav bechetzi demehen. He translates the word ad chetzion, meaning the market has gone down. The market, not because of him, not because the market has gone down half of what it was originally.
Yeah.
Then, it's now worth half. If you're able to sell it, even if it went down half. Even if it's worth, it's not half. It's not worth half the price. It seems you're mechuyif to sell it. V'im hu b'imos ha'geshamim. It's the winter time. She'ein zman mechira. It's not the season to sell. V'ein moitzi limkar ella bezol. V'im yanichim ad yimos ha'cham yotel. Sometime yimachem shaveim. Ein mechayavim oisol limkar ella noisim loy me'at staka. You give from staka ad sheyachol lemoichron b'chatsi dimehen. Ad kan l'shoyna tour. So here's where he really focuses on the word chatzi. So the tour, it's not really clear. He's going to try to explain it. Then he brings a Rambam. Uledvod of zeh, he's coming to explain what the tour really means. Zeh sheshaninu, ad mechza d'mai, when it says in the Gemara, mechza, mai, b'chahai gavna, sheyamtin ad yemoy sachama, you wait until the summertime. Ulechein im yochel likach mechza, mekach b'moy sachama, if you're able to take half of what it's worth, you're mechuyif to sell it now. Okay, so this is what he seems to say, is that right now it's the winter time. And the winter time, he wants to sell his house for $1 million. No one's going to give him $1 million in the winter time. In the summertime, he'll get $1 million.
Can they get a quarter of a million?
What? Okay, well, let's assume it's going to be the same. Right now, no. But right now, if he can sell it now for $500,000, according to the parish of the Tour, he's mechuyif to do so. If you only can sell it for $499,000, then he's not mechuyif to sell it, and he can take tzedakah. But if you can sell it for $500,000 in the winter time, because that's half of what he would get in the summertime, according to the tour, that's what the Gemara means. He's mechuyif to sell. It's a very big chumra.
It's not his primary residence.
No, it's not his primary residence. Absolutely not. His primary residence.
What? Tzedakah, can't you just give him a loan?
That would be the best thing. That's a possibility.
That you give him money now. And
that would be ideal.
Does he have to pay back?
Yes. It's stock. You don't have to pay back. A loan, you do have to pay back. So taking stock is to his advantage because he doesn't have to pay back. A loan, he has to pay back. They're different. Here he wants stock. Here he's coming for a handout. There's a fund. There's a community fund giving out stock. I don't have what to eat. They say to him, "Look, you have a second home. Sell it." What do you mean, sell it? It's in the summertime, I'm getting $1 million. If I sell it now, I'm only getting $500,000. According to the tour, that's exactly what the Gemara means. Since you'll get at least $500,000, you will chuyif to sell it. Ach, pachos mi mechza, yamtin ayimoy sachama, period. The akach yitach tztaka, if the only way you can sell it now is less than half of what you get in the summertime, then you can take tztaka. Ach, adavar tumua. The Aruch HaShulchan is not happy with the interpretation of the tour in the Gemara. The lama yiloi hefsed amechza shavyam. It's not fair. According to the Torah, the Torah is fataych the Gemara. Amechza means that it's the winter time. No one wants to buy it now. In the summertime, I'll get $1 million. I'm a chuyif to sell it now for $500,000. A 50% loss. That's outrageous. That's not fair. How can the Torah fataych the Gemara in such a way? Since Ata, it's not worth Ainzes, the Kavan Shayeshla Lufia Mekach, who raised Zuz, Achleva Tumur, the Lama Yelo Hefset Ad Mechsa Shavyam, Mikvi Mosachama. Why? It's not fair. So you have to say, he's just trying to answer the tour, but Sochlam at that time came with the Ata, Ainem Sham Yaiser, Ainzes Zilzul. You have to answer the tour, that's how he understands economics, the tour. The bottom line is you have $500,000. If you have $500,000, the Gemara says you're not allowed to take tzedakah. If you have more than 200 zuz, you can't take tzedakah. Too bad for you. That's the way it is. Even though you're suffering a very great loss. The kevan sheyesh le lefi amerech. What?
When you speak of fairness,
yeah.
Is it fair that the community must support him for tzedakah?
That's the dilemma. That's what we're grappling with. All of these things are converging. And the Aruch HaShulchan is surprised that we should require this man to suffer 50% loss. But he says, I guess that's what it means, because what's the choice? Is it fair to cause the community to go and to bear the burden of every single person? Bail out? Right? Is it fair for the government to bail everyone out? That's the big dilemma.
Is there a factor also, let's say he originally bought the house for $10,000?
No, that's not a factor. That's not a factor. I don't believe that's a factor. He's a smart businessman. He knew what to do. That's not a factor. Yeah.
That's why people don't want to get a high-paying job if they have all the benefits, because they lose the benefits.
You don't want to get a high-paying job with benefits? I don't know who you're talking about. Good. That's right.
When he gets a job for $50,000, he loses another. He loses.
That's right. Exactly. That's part of the job. The job of the benefit. That's part of the salary. Many jobs. The bonus is the whole job, which is not even in the contract. Less than 50% Chazal Rachmanis. So this is the Yisoid, the Gemara, the Perish of the Tour, the surprise of the Aruch HaShulchan and his legitimization. His he comes around. I guess that's the way it is. That's the way it is. This community cannot bail out every last person. That was one of Obama's first things he did in this country, right? He bailed out the banks, all of the banks and General Motors. That was a very big dilemma. Do you, too big to fail. Next, Aval HaRambam. The Rambam is another pshat in the Gemara. The Tur is much happy with the Rambam pshat in the Gemara. Rambam beHilchat Tzedakah, Yesh Derech Acheres B'zeh. He has a new taitch of the Gemara. V'zeh L'shoinai. Misha Yiloi Batim Sadezukram V'im Moichem B'im Moichem B'im Moichem B'im Moichem B'zol. If you sell it now, you only get 50%. V'im Enichem Ad Yim Moichem Moichem B'shaveyem. Ein mechayovin oisa limkar ella ma'achil. Here's the pshat in the Rambam, new pshat in the Gemara. Ma'achil oisa ma'asani ad chatzi d'mehen. Until the chatzi d'mehen is how much tzedakah you give him. V'lo yitchoik atzma v'yimkar shaloi bizman mechira. So you give him $500,000 of tzedakah. That's what it seems to mean. I mean, something I have to make a formula what this means, but it doesn't mean you don't have him sell it. But you don't give him a full amount of tzedakah. You give him tzedakah.
What is the man? What is he referring to? Chatzi d'mehen.
Ela machilin osa maisani ad chatzi d'mehen. Let's read further. I'm not sure. Let's read further. V'lo yitchoik atzmai v'yimkar shloi b'zman ha-mechira. Period. Hayu shor adam loichem biyoyker v'hu einu moitzi mishiyok shiikach menu ela bezol b'bneishu dachok. Now we're going to come back to this. Let's read for a few lines first. Let's say the only reason why he cannot sell at market value is because he has a bad reputation. Everyone knows that he is in a desperate state. V'tarud then ein mechayavim oisa limkar ela oichel ma'is ani v'hoylech ad sheyimkar b'shavet period v'yedu akol she'enu dachok limkar ad kan l'shanei. Now he's explaining uledvarav nicha. Now he is coming to differ from the tour. According to the Rambam, what the Gemara means is the loyshav kinen leli zalzule klal. We don't force him to go down more than 50%. It's ridiculous. Ela niza minat staka at sheyimkar b'mekach hashava ach gam ze einem muvin. The lama b'moysag hashamim ein machilin oisay rak. Why is in the wintertime do ein machilin oisay rak ad mechza mishivi hanechasim? We only feed him until half of the value of the nechasim. V'ulam dibibnei she'ein derech she'yuzlu yoyse mimechza mimos ha'gesham limos ha'chol. V'in dayoy she'neseyehu min atztoko ma'a she'huzal v'lo yoyse. So, ma'a she'enkin im zol zol hu bibnei dochoy ein shir l'dover l'chein gam ha'sin lo min atztoko b'lo yoy shi'ur. Okay, basically, I don't really fully understand. I told you the example was worth $1 million and $500,000. Obviously, we're dealing over here with something that's worth a lot less.
When he gets the money back, does he have to return it?
No, definitely not. You get it's stuck. You never have to pay back stock. But the gist of what the Rambam over here is saying is, you have to make a better calculation, I'm not clear, is that you give him tzedakah, but not the full amount that you would normally give. A person comes for tzedakah, so normally what do they give? They give him a certain amount, they give him $500. You're coming for tzedakah, you have assets, and your assets mean that you're not a poor man, but you can't liquidate them at this point in time of the year. We'll give you tzedakah, but we're not going to give you the full amount of stock up.
What do you mean by full amount?
He only has frozen assets.
Right.
He doesn't have any
Nothing else. I don't have what to eat. I don't have what to eat. I literally do not have what to eat. So you have a summer home. Sell the summer home. If I sell the summer home today to put food on the table, I'm only going to get half its value. According to the tour, that's right. Sell it half its value. We're not responsible to feed you the money from the kehillah. The Rambam says, no, we're going to feed you, but we're not going to feed you what we would feed someone else. Because you do have assets. Figure out a solution. Figure out something. In the meantime, we'll give you, but not the full amount. Now, how that translates into chatzi d'mehen, it seems like let's say the extreme example, which is not correct, it means we'll give you $500,000. Sell it right now, and we'll give you for $500,000. You're suffering $500,000 loss. So we'll give you $500,000. So you'll suffer no loss. Now, obviously, we don't give any poor person $500,000. So what obviously it means then is, let's say for argument's sake,
over time.
What?
No, we don't know how long it's going to take. Maybe in 6 months it would amount to more than $500,000 to support him. You don't have to give more than half of the value of the nechassos. That's all. That's what
it has nothing to do with the nechassos.
But so you're going to give him $500,000.
What?
You are going to give him willing to give him even more than $500,000.
No.
If he did not have these assets, you would give him even $1 million. But the fact that he has these assets, and the most he's going to lose is $500,000, so we're not going to give you more than $500,000. Okay, something along those lines. So the basic idea is...
As soon as you give him, he becomes an
usher. Over time.
You're allowed to make...
No, so what are you going to give him? If he has over 200, does he be...
If you have less, if you have 199 zuz, you're allowed to receive 1 million zuz. That's the halacha.
Yeah,
if you have 200 zuz, you're not allowed to receive a penny. What?
Why would you give 1 million zuz?
That's the halacha. The halacha is...
You could give him.
You're right, exactly.
That's his lifestyle.
If he's used to that lifestyle, you give him.
Okay, so according to the Rambam... The Rambam, so basically, let's look at it like this. Let's make the numbers a lot simpler. A person that has a piece of property that's worth, let's say, $1,000. Okay, make it very simple. $1,000. He has a little hut. So the $1,000. The average guy that comes to the Kupa for Pesach, a very wealthy, can they give him $1,000? That's what they give him. The guy says, I don't have any food to put on the table for Pesach. I need $1,000. They say, what do you mean $1,000? According to our records, you have this little bungalow, it's worth $1,000. Sell it, you'll have the food. We're not enough to support you. So he says, so he says, I can't sell it now, it's not the season. If I'll sell it, I'll only get $500. According to the Rambam, sell it, and we'll give you the other $500. So in total...
I think the Rambam says, don't sell, we'll just give you $500. That's right.
Till you could sell it.
Don't sell it. We'll give you $500.
Up to $500.
Okay, fine. We'll give you. You don't want to sell, fine. We will give you up to $500. If you want to sell it, then you'll have the one you'll have then, because then you'll have the total amount.
That's your business.
So we'll give you other. According to the tour, in this case, you have to sell and you get nothing.
Right.
You get nothing. Sell it. It's for $500, and you get nothing. So that's the chilik between the tour and the Rambam. The Rambam is much more generous.
Yeah.
The Rambam says, we normally give a person $1,000. For you, we're only going to give $500, because since you have something that's worth $1,000, you can't liquidate it now, but if you would liquidate it now, it would be worth $500. So we'll supplement whatever you need to bring it up to what it's worth if you would sell it this very moment in time.
If you, I don't think you, it's in my opinion, that let's say guys are worth $10 million, you don't...
But you're not giving stock. That's why I reduced it to the case of $1,000,000 to $10,000. Because no one's giving anyone stock $1 million today. That's why I reduced the case just to bring up the point.
In every case, you know that tzedakah gives $1,000, so you give half of it. Because
right. That's the basic gist. The basic flavor of the Rambam is you have assets, you're a wealthy person, you can't liquidate the assets at this moment in time. You're entitled to tzedakah, but you're not going to get the same amount that we give the poor people because they have absolutely nothing. You have assets. Figure out what to do with the assets. We'll give you something now just to get by for the next few weeks.
Still diverting money from the real tzedakah.
He's entitled. Well, he's entitled because the bottom line is the person doesn't have what to eat. We're going to see that soon. The person is traveling. If you're a traveler on the road, that's the next halacha. If you're traveling, you're in an airport. Right, you're a multimillionaire, and you land. There's an emergency, and they have to land the plane in the middle of nowhere. Are you allowed to take tzedakah? Well, here, yes. I don't have anything. The credit cards don't work. Let's say the airplane lands in the
you
place.
You have American Express, and they only take.
They don't accept. Change. Are you allowed to take tzedakah? L'may nafka mina. Do you have to pay back? You come to an airport, and there's no electricity, so there are no you have no access to your assets, to your credit cards, to your ATM, nothing. There's nothing, and they come from the Chabad house, and they bring the generosity, they bring everyone food, and they give everyone a $500 package to get through the weekend, food, clothing, everything, and you're a multimillionaire. You come home. Are you mechuyev to write out a check of $500 and send Chabad for the package care that they gave you? No, you're not. Because at that moment in time, you were an oni.
It just happened to me 3 weeks ago. We came back and we got stuck in Kiev.
Yeah.
The flight. We called up the local Hatzalah guy, Hillel Cohen. He brought in like 50 sandwiches. And he said, I'm not asking for money. Whoever wants can give. And some people gave some
did,
some gave more, some
did less. Okay, but there the people had access to their money. They had access. Some people, you have an ATM. You have access. Let's say you don't have access. Are you mechuyev to give back the money? If you're taking the money, midin et tzedakah, you're potter. You're potter. However, you know, by the way, this is a great, great thing that we have over here. Unfortunately, I don't have time to prepare. I don't have the energy or the diligence, or the to prepare the way I should, but you know, everyone knows something called the Piskei Tshuvas. This has taken Klal Yisrael by storm, this set of Svarim on the Mishnah Berurah. Piskei Tshuvas. I don't even know. Piskei Tshuvas. This was written, it already came by for 20 years already. This is the son-in-law. This was 20 years ago already on the Mishnah Berurah. And now his son-in-law, not the person who wrote the Piskei Tshuvas on the Mishnah Berurah, put out the same cover, same title, the same exact style.
Slightly different
title. Pesachim with Shuvas. I'm sorry, I didn't know. Pesachim with Shuvas on Yoredeya. This is only out a few weeks. Only a few weeks out in the bookstores. A few weeks. The same exact style in the Mishnah Berurah, which is literally a bestseller on Yoredeya. And which chelik of Yoredeya? Exactly what we're learning over here. Hilchos Tzedakah. So it's very fascinating what he says in here. There are a lot of modern shilas that he discusses that supplement the material of the Aruch Hashulchan.
Yeah. If you take tzedakah halakhically, are you obligated to pay it back?
That's exactly what you're marking. That's exactly what he discusses over here, and does not say in the Aruch Hashulchan. He cites here sources that say, if you take tzedakah, you're potter al pi halacha, but there is an inyan lefnim mishuris hadin that if you do have the means to pay back, so it doesn't mean you're totally exempt.
I think with the government,
yeah,
you take the tzedakah from the government, yeah, wealthy, and then you come into money. I think you are obligated to.
No, it depends.
By law,
it depends.
So let me say something that I do know about. If you take Medicaid,
okay,
when you own an apartment, right, and you sell that apartment or you die, and it becomes part of your estate, you're obligated to pay back the government.
That's right. They catch you.
So yes, I don't know if it's
within 5 years.
You're obligated to pay back the government if you took
Medicaid from the government because they can't touch your apartment.
Well, in some states they can.
Not if it's irrevocable. Irrevocable land.
So that's a case where you took seductive from the government.
Okay, that's those are laws. That's Dina de Malchusa Dina. Okay, that's an issue of Dina de Malchusa Dina. But let's discuss the halachas of tzedakah. If a person takes tzedakah al pi halacha, it's not like the government. It's not like the government. You have absolutely no obligation to pay back. Zero. No one can force you. However, it's menschlichkeit. It's lefnim mishur sadin. He cites here a source. That's what I saw over here. I was praying today in the morning. That you should, if you have the means, it's the right thing to pay back the person who gave you its tzedakah. So that's the
have a fund for the next guy.
Right, or even besides that, it's not a good thing for a person to be a recipient.
But ultimately, I think you're right.
All right, let me see over here. Where we have to over here.
Mark had a very good point. That in a case like this, they should go send it to a gemach. Because a gemach, he has that property. He has the property which he let us say, oh, you can go to a gemach, put an arrow in that. When the property goes up, you can sell it and pay back the gemach.
Okay, Enochnam, you borrow on it. One more paragraph. Da, ois yud the avagav the be'ein loy raised zuz yochem lidin loy. Even though the be'ein loy you raised zuz yochem lidin loy, afilu elos. If a person is poor, you're allowed to receive even 1,000 zuz. But vasach, as mentioned before, commotion, the spam mikol malchim is zed sheyesh lechabe. Ela she'ein yochol lemoichron ato ein noistim loy harbe bevasachas ela dvar yoyim biyom. Okay, this is really what the Rambam said. The Rambam is saying a very important thing. So the person who is poor, that's less than 200, you are allowed lichatchila to give him $1,000,000. Lichatchila, that's talacha. If you have less than 200, you can give whatever you want. But if a person has no liquid assets, but is loaded to the hilt, is a multimillionaire in frozen assets, this halacha of giving him $1,000,000 does not apply. The only allowed to give him
daily,
just a small amount of money. This is very important.
Frozen assets. Real estate?
Real estate. Yeah. I can't
liquid
sell.
Liquid means money.
Liquid means it's available. It's cash. ATM. Cash. Ella devar yoyim biyoyimai. V'yatam poshut. The cave and the BMS osher hu. Ella shadochuk lizman. He's just pressed for in this particular time. Kimasha kosav imkein eich nitin lo harve. How can you give him a lot of money? Shem lemocha yimsa limkar b'shavim. Tomorrow he'll be able to sell his assets. V'lama nikapeach lanim. Why should we deny the funds from going to the poor people? It's enough to feed him daily until he can sell his assets for what they are worth. All right, we'll stop over here.
Let's see, has stock.
Same thing.
No, but stock, he doesn't have to sell the whole thing in one shot. He can sell a couple of shares each time until he has money.
If what he's selling is the same as market value, then he's mechuyev to sell immediately. If the part that he's selling is not going to affect his whole portfolio, then it's mechuyev.
Did the father write on stuff or not?
I don't know. Maybe his son did.
He's still working on his stuff.
He's still working. Yeah, that's why he retired.
He didn't retire from that. He retired from being the Rav.
He told me, I retired because I want to sit and write.
Right, yeah, that's what he wants to do.
He moved to Lakewood.
Yeah, yeah. He comes back here every once in a while. He's running on Kippur, comes back to town.
My writing is important to me, and that's why you're a 5 o'clock. He told me that's why he retired, because he wants to focus on the writing.
When my kid was learning, Professor Chalup, he's learning in Yeshiva, and he said, could he ask for a 5 o'clock? You know him. So I guess we're fine.
He says, no, and people ask me, tell us all the time. The kid wants, yeah, I don't have time.
What?
I don't even have time to ask.
It's a theoretical Shabbos. But he did pull me up back a couple of times.
It wasn't complicated to get the money off of it. You got to go back. How is that self-defense?